Lord God, we thank you so much. Thank you of your words to us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, you're the one that teaching us. You're the one that will open our hearts and our mind to receive from you. We praise you, Lord God. We glorify your name. Help us to understand your words, Lord God. Work in us. Challenge us in Jesus' name. Amen. So now, I think we've been, for the grown-ups, we've been listening teachings about love, about unity, and that's a big portion of that in with the spiritual gifts. So who knows what's the greatest commandment in the Bible? And then what is the second one? Very good. So all the little ones, you know what it is? Anybody can repeat that? Julia, would you know? Very good. And the second one? Anybody know? Do you know? Love your neighbors.
Yes. Do
you love yourself? Well done. Very good. Now in the Bible, it actually talks about love a lot, a lot. If you're thinking of love is about, I don't know, movie, chick flicks and, you know, fairy tale story, they live happily ever afters. A lot of the time, and then you think has nothing to do with the Bible or church. Much, a lot of the passages in the Bible is all about love. It actually have, if you're talking about just a word, search, love, the word love actually have more than 500 times. And if you're talking about the word loved, have more than 100 times. So we actually have many, many passages when God talk about love. And as we talk about what is the greatest commandment, it is about love. Now, there's a passage that I want to read today. It talks about love, but we might thinking of people actually love in a way of Peter and Jesus' relationship before the cross. Matthew, if you want to take them upstairs, it's okay because it's quieter. Thank you. Now we know that Jesus loves. He has perfect love. A lot of the disciples, they loved Jesus. They followed Jesus. They left everything behind to follow Jesus. And they have, in their words, they have told Jesus that how much they loved him. And in this passage, Jesus actually told Peter he's going to deny him. And Peter was the one that said, no, I'm not going to deny you. I'm going to ready to go to prison. I'm ready going to die for you. But Jesus' word was, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you. When he said you, it wasn't just Peter. Actually, when Jesus talking to them, it was to all of them. If you actually understand the Greek word, it was actually plural. So it wasn't just to Peter. So Jesus told them, Satan demanded to have you, all of you, that he might sift all of you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And remember this, when you have turned back again and have been restored, strengthen the faith of your brothers. And then that's when Jesus told Peter, you are going to deny me 3 times. And Peter said, no, I will never do that. I love you so much, Jesus. And then we all know what happened in the Bible. Did Peter deny Jesus? How many times? 3 times. But do you think he was lying when he told Peter, when he told Jesus that he loved him? Do you think he really meant it when he said that he was ready to go to prison and to die? He meant it. His love was genuine. His love was real. He really meant it. So there's enemy also coming from Jesus actually say, Satan is going to sift you. He demanded. So we know that it wasn't just Peter failing, but there's attack from the enemy too. Now also, what is the reason why Peter denied Jesus? Yeah, fear. I think you should preach. Well done. That's fear. His fear was so powerful. It was a genuine thing. If somebody's going to attack you, take you away. Fear was more powerful in that time than his love. Before he faced the reality, before he faced those people coming against him, he thought he loved. He was ready to do it. So when he actually faced the reality of things, fear was more powerful. The emotion of fear, he faced the reality of his own weakness. He would not know about how much he feared until that happened. Before that, he would say, yes, I love you, Jesus. I'm ready to do all this. But when it actually happened, he was face to face with his own fear, with his own weakness. But good thing was, Jesus already knew about it. Jesus actually said, I prayed for you. I know Satan, that's his plan, but I prayed for you. And you were hold on to your faith. And when you turn back, you're going to be the one that strengthens the faith of your brothers. And that's powerful. A lot of the time we miss that. We focus so much of Jesus, focus so much on Peter's failing of him denying Jesus. But we actually missed the fact that Jesus actually already knew about it. Jesus actually said that, I pray for you. Don't worry, Peter. I knew this is going to happen, but I pray for you. So a lot of the time when we try to love, we can try to love people, but until we actually know our weakness, we might have to face some of those issues in our lives. It might not be fear, it might be other things. But when we actually see the reality of those things, that's when we realize, oh, I really do desire to love. It is the commandment. We want to do it. We want to love Jesus. We want to love God. We want to love others. But sometimes our own weakness show up. And when it show up, we have choices to make. We can let it condemn us. We could actually let it make us feel so bad about it. And we want to crawl in a hole. Or we want to, we will feel so guilty about it. So it could be anything. It might not be, I mean, there are a lot of reasons sometimes, not just fear. There are other reasons sometimes why we can't love. The Bible talk about different type of love. A few weeks ago, I talked about it. When the words love come on in the Bible, in English, it just came up word love. But if you actually look at the Greek understanding, you could have agape love or filial love. And there's actually a lot more. But majority of people we know is the two, agape and filial. Agape is the love that is love from God. It's selfless. It's more of a term of God's love that you can't measure it. It's always forgiving. It never fails you. It is a love that is divine love. It's perfect, unconditional, and it's sacrificial, and it's pure. And it's not self-seeking. So that's agape love. And then we also have the filial love, which is great affections. Majority of us, we love each other as friends, as in fellowships. We have affections with friends, we will remember maybe each other's birthday or something. We'll go out and we have good time. And we enjoy being with each other, maybe enjoy playing with each other. But there's a different love compared to agape. But a lot of the Bible verses, when Jesus told us to love each other, sometimes it's actually talking about agape love, and sometimes it's actually talking about filial love. So when we actually understand the Bible in that way, we also understand how God desires us to love. We can't love in our own strength. We can only love through God in us. We love because He first loved us. Now, as we read that passage where Peter, fear took over and he denied Jesus, the one that he loved so much. And when Jesus came back to him, Jesus came back to life. Peter thought that he'd done it. Jesus was arrested. Jesus was killed. Actually, he wasn't just killed, he was more or less murdered. He was put on a cross. But Jesus came back alive. He was risen. And Jesus came to the disciples. They were fishing. And when they were fishing, they heard somebody say, put your nets on the other side. And then they caught loads of fish. And John said, oh, that's Jesus. And Peter was the first one to dive in. So instead of thinking of shame, what he has done, he just loved Jesus so much. He just dived in, off the boat, swim ashore, and then talked to Jesus. And this is what Jesus talked to him about. Simon, son of John, do you love me more than this? He said to him. Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him. Jesus said to him, feed my lambs. And then Jesus said it to him a second time. Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said to him again, tend my sheep. And Jesus said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. And then later on he said, follow him, follow me again. Now, remembering I was saying about the love have different meaning in the Bible. If you only read that passage of thinking love, that could be a bit confusing. But if you're reading it with the understanding of the Greek words, what does it love? So this passage actually read like this. When the exchange between Jesus and Peter. Do you agape me? And Peter say, I filial you. And then Jesus say, feed my lambs. And then Jesus said again, do you agape me? And Peter say, I filial you. And Jesus said, shepherd my sheep. And the third time when Jesus said to Peter, he actually said, do you filial me? And then Peter said, you know I filial you. And then Jesus said, feed my sheep. The first two times when Jesus asked Peter, he asked Peter, filial love, do you filial love me? And But each time, Peter only reply, I filial you. And then the third time, when Jesus asked Peter, that's when he said, do you filial me? And that's when Peter said, you know I filial you. This is a big difference to before the cross when he said, I'm ready to go to jail. I'm ready to die for you. That was a love that he was declaring to Jesus, that I agape you. But after he was faced with the reality of his own weakness, when Jesus asked him, do you agape me? All the three times he only say filial. I don't believe it's because he loved Jesus less. I believe that is only because he recognized his own weakness. And as he recognized his own weakness, and he knew he failed Jesus, but he also knew where he can draw strength from. And he knew that his relationship with Jesus is more important than anything else. So that's when Jesus said, understand him of where he is at. So it's the same for each one of us. We might think that we can love really well, but a lot of the time until we face situation, that's when we realize, actually, my love is not that deep. God is going to do more work in us, in me, for me to be able to love better, to be able to forgive the other person, to be able to give more. And that's us coming before God in our humility, in our own weakness, and coming to God and say, Lord, I need you. I can only love because you love me first. If we're trying to live the commandment in our own strength, it will be like trying to put a chain around us. The more we struggle, the more we fight it, the tighter the strength this chain will be. I was thinking of, I will have a lot of teenagers. I'm just going to wrap them around it. But I don't think I will do that now, since they're all away. The more we try to live the commandment in our own strength, like law, it's just going to wrap us tighter and tighter and tighter. And each time we fail, we're going to feel guilty about it. And that guilt feeling is just going to eat us away. We can only love when we actually surrender. It's come from a place of surrendering, recognizing our own weakness. And God is the one that's going to do the work in us. In Peter's case, in that passage, what stopped him with his love to love fully the way that he really meant it and really wanted to was fear. And Holy Spirit can set us free from fear. But it could be other things. It could be pride. It could be so many different things that stop us. That chain could represent so many different things. It could be our insecurity, thinking we're not good enough. Nobody, I can't love. My love is worthless. Thinking my love doesn't mean anything. So what's the point? It could be pride. It could be so many different things. Only the Holy Spirit knows each one of us. And when we're faced with that reality, that's when we face what is our weakness. When we get free from that and we surrender those areas, that's when we can really, really love. And Peter did eventually in his life, he did go to jail and he did die for Jesus. But he wasn't doing it in fear. He wasn't doing it out of obligations. He did it out of love. He loved our Lord Jesus. And Jesus knew that the life that he's going to live. But Jesus said, I'm going to be with you. He's going to remember throughout his lifetime how Jesus said, I'm praying for you. I pray for you. And it's the same for each one of us. Jesus praying for us still. And he's seated at the left hand of the Heavenly Father's, interceding for us. And it is the same for all of us. We decide to live, to love our families better, or maybe our kids, or our husband and wife, our parents, our friends, and sometimes our own human weakness made it so difficult for us to love. As parents, I know that until I have kids, I thought I was perfect. But all of us know as we become parents, our patience are being stretched. You know, when you're not sleeping at night, they keep waking up needing feeding. But love will call us to get out of bed and do all the things that we do for that little baby. And as they get older too, but is this also the same in marriages? In the beginning of the relationship, everything is great. Everything is romantic. Everything is lovely. And then you read the fairy tale story. They all say they live happily ever after. And then you're married, and then the honeymoon is over, and then you started having problems, and then you started doing things differently. The love is still there. But sometimes it causes us to be willing to surrender to our own wants, our own desire. We might have to live and learn to live to give. And we are, as we continue to walk with God, Holy Spirit will reveal to us what is the chain that's wrapping us around us that costs us love and bind us, and that we can't give love or we can't receive love. Now, this is my message. Let's pray and ask God. And even as we do life together, we need each other. Our friends actually help us to challenge us. What is our problem? And then we can love better. Because love connects us together. And it is God who is doing the work in us. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord God. We praise you. We thank you, Lord God, that you have set us free already. The enemy might still have holds onto us in areas of our lives. But ultimately, we focus on you because you have already done the work. You have already set us free. You have already given us salvations. And your Holy Spirit will cause us as we surrender to you that we can love and we can fulfill the commandment that you have given us. That we can love you and we can love each other in a way that you call us to. We praise you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God. Holy Spirit, we just ask that in the coming days and weeks, continue to work in us. Continue to reveal your truth to us. Help us to walk in your freedom. The Lord is the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. We glorify your name. In Jesus' name, amen.